That's our God. So rejoice in your womanhood. We honor your womanhood, your sacred womanhood. Now the passage to the womb is through the birth canal. Can I talk quite plainly here this morning? Mostly adults, and I think the ones who aren't adults probably wouldn't understand what I'm saying anyway, so that's okay. Well, I want to touch on some sensitive subjects here this morning. Is that okay? Some of you are not too sure? Okay. Kapoi. I should have given you a parental warning. Explicit. Listener discretion is advised. But the passage to, so we've established that the womb is sacred. We got that? And so the woman is sacred, the womb is sacred. I want to say that the passage to the womb is also sacred. The birth canal, some people call it the vaginal canal. And that needs to be protected. And to the brothers here this morning, I want to say part of our role is to be protectors and to esteem our sisters, to esteem, to honor, to be honorable towards them, to be, you know, they don't need the great white, you know, knight on the great horse, that kind of, you know, hero sort of a guy, but just to basically basic honor and respect as men. The scriptures say to the married man, he's to lay down his life for his wife. Heck. Awesome, you're going to heck. I reckon heck. Just the wife just has to respect the husband. That's all she has to do. Easy peasy. But the man, he has to lay down his life. And it's not like one time. It's like daily. It was one time, like, you know, they'd be merciful. They just shoot, bang. But daily, lay down your life. It's no longer about us anymore, brothers, when we get married. Yeah, okay. I'm speaking from experience. I'll be 40 years married in a few more days. Yeah. Gonna take my wife on a holiday. Yeah. Soon. So our job is to respect, to honor, to protect. But who knows, we're in a spiritual warfare. And the man who is meant to be the protector, in many respects, if we look at society in general, the protector has become the predator. And these are the things we need to address. The defender, the one who's meant to be the defender, has become the defiler. And we need to address these things. Sexual abuse, we're talking here about sexual abuse and sexual immorality. It's even crept into the church of God. And I hope not our church, but it's possible. It's possible, you know, but it's possible. And the even so-called church leaders, you'll read it from time to time. It pops up, you know. And we're not just talking about the Catholic priests. We're talking about all kinds of churches where sexual leaders, so-called men of God, have violated children, boys and girls. These are difficult things to talk about in the church, but so I only do it once or twice a year, if that. But there's an area that I'm passionate about because I've seen the damage in people's lives. I've seen the damage in our community from these kind of things. Sometimes people call it tutu or playing around. No, we need to name it what it is. It's violation. It's rape. It's destructive. Almost well, over 40 years ago when we first landed in Kaikohe as a young couple and we were going to a local church here. If I named it, you would know the name of it. And one of the beautiful young girls, she spent some time with Allison and she disclosed to Allison that her father had molested her. Just because that's when you're a pastor, people tell you these things. And so this girl told Allison, and he was the elder in the church. So this is the guy that would sit there at the front of the church when we had communion, sit there and distribute the emblems and do all that kind of religious stuff, the senior elder of the church, and he was a molesterer. And you're, oh, that's shocking. And then we We heard about it in a local Pentecostal church here, where one of the elders would even molest, I hate to say these things, but his stepdaughter on the way home from church. You got to be kidding me. And we said, maybe that's an isolated case. And I don't want to sort of go deeper and deeper and deeper, but we basically got to the point where we understood that practically every single church in Kaikohe at that time, in its leadership somewhere, had a history of sexual violation. God's not pleased with this. This breaks the heart of God. This is not something that we should be proud about, and certainly not something that we should cover up and not deal with. And you would hope that these things would be one-off isolated cases, but they weren't. And I want to say, one of these men was a close friend of mine, in the sense that we would pray together, he would help me. He was a beautiful man in every other area of his life. But this one area of his life was totally in the darkness and totally messed up. And he needed healing and he needed to repent. So I want to declare it. I'm not so much declaring it to us, but I want to declare it to the atmosphere, if you like. Don't you dare blaspheme the name of the Lord by calling yourself a Christian if you're involved in that kind of sin. Don't blaspheme God's name. You barely have the right to call yourself a man, let alone a Christian, if you're involved in these kind of things. What are we doing here? We're feeling a bit icky, but we're also taking shame off victims and putting it where it belongs, which is on the violator. Because often our churches are filled with people who carrying shame that they should not be carrying. That shame and that feeling of guilt and unworthiness needs to go upon the perpetrator, needs to go upon the offender, and he needs to deal with it, or she needs to deal with it. There's only one place you can go if you're a brother or a sister and if you committed offenses in these areas. There's only one place you can really go, and that's to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't just confess your sins and then carry on offending. Cry out to God for mercy. Cry out to God for help. He will forgive you. And you, if you are honest and transparent before God, and probably you need to get transparent before a few brothers who love you, you can get deliverance from those demons that drive you towards that kind of offending, driven you to that kind of depths of depravity and sickness. There is hope for offenders. There's hope, but the hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to go, this message is going to go online for people to hear it. You need to understand, and this is why I'm speaking quite straight, because this is going out to a wider audience than this. You need to understand that if you are sexually offending against children, you are going to hell. There's a place reserved for you, for extra punishment for your crimes, and you need to repent. You need to run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Run to him and cry out for mercy. Stop offending. Get some help, and you will find your breakthrough in God. Give God some praise just to lighten up the atmosphere. There's hope. So we're just doing all that to lift off any shame here this morning. And I want to emphasize that, sisters, as women of divine value, don't give access to the birth, to the canal, to any old guy. The next brother that comes up with some charm and what have you. Oh, a married woman? A bit different. If no, hang on, we'll just stick to the script, honey. to the single unmarried woman in the house today, that man needs to be worthy of you. He needs to honor you. We're talking here from the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, husbands, honor your wives as the weaker sex. And that's a bad translation. It should say, honor your wives as the more delicate part of the, you know, more fragile. Yeah, who knows, women are strong. Very strong, yeah. They're not weaker sex, but they're, in some respects, more delicate, more fragile. Monty's brother, I'll give you an example. Monty's brother, I went to Monty's brother's house 100 years ago, and he said, would you like a cup of tea, Mike? I said, yes, I would. And he took a risk. He made me a cup of tea in his favorite little china cup, all right? And I made the cup of tea, and then I thought I'd be a good boy, good young fella, and I washed it, and I went to dry it, and I shook it like this, and the handle came off. I broke his delicate cup. And he said, I knew I shouldn't have given you that cup. What he should have given me was the mug. A man is like a mug. A woman is like the china, the flash cup. That's what we mean when we say the weaker sex. Right? You know, weak, just more delicate. But the main point is, 1 Peter 3:7 says, man, honor her. Honor her. Respect her. So this is what he needs to do before he gets access to that canal. He needs to get down on his knees and propose to you properly. He needs to ask you to marry him. He needs to look you in the eye and say, will you marry me? If he won't do that, yeah. He's not worthy of you. Now, brothers, we need to teach the brothers this. We need to teach the young brothers this. Yeah. And that's how you do it. I got my daughter here in the house. Great to see you, Amy. Her Italian boyfriend rang me up from Perth one day. He said, Mike, I want to ask you a question. Yeah. How do you plant kumaras? Da, 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 da. And I said, funny question. I said, I don't know much about kumaras, but potatoes, you... And he said, no. Actually, what I want to ask you is, can I marry Amy? That's how you do it. You honor her. You honor, and if you get a chance, you ask her father. If he's not prepared to do that, if he won't wait until marriage, he's not worthy of you. I told you this story before in this place. My other daughter, Esther, she was at university years ago down in Christchurch doing a course on drugs and alcohol. I've done that course too. But you don't get a certificate for one. You go on a course of drugs and alcohol. Awesome. Hey? And she said, hey, Dad, my teacher tells me that because of evolution, men make a lot of sperm, yeah? And so it's natural for them to want to spread that sperm around to lots of different women because it's natural for them, it's in them to recreate the species. And that's why women, we only have one egg. But so it's more natural for men to sleep around than have many partners. I go, oh, yeah? She says, what I want to ask you, Dad, is that the same for in the church? Is that the same for Christian men? I said, no, darling. Do you go back and you tell your teacher that, that's not natural, that's natural for dogs. That dogs are animals, and dogs, when they come on heat, you know what they'll do? They will jump on anything. But we are Christian men. The Bible says this, that we are to possess our vessel in self-control. That's the basic difference between a human and an animal, is that humans can control ourselves. Amen? Amen. Yeah. That even though we may have these biological urges, we have this fruit of self-control in our life, and we don't go with the natural man. We go with what the Word of God says and the Spirit. So that's just a little thing. So we, brothers, what we need to do is, and we're not animals, amen? We're not animals. We're not animals. See, we've been programmed to think that we're animals. We're not animals. We're human beings. And so we need to behave sexually in the correct manner. And if we step outside of that, our God-ordained wife, we are not behaving like a man. We're behaving like a dog. Can I be blunt? So, brothers, we're not called to be dogs. We are called to be righteous men of integrity. And maybe some of us have behaved like dogs in the past. We can change that behavior. And because God has called us to a higher calling, And we can seek healing, we can seek forgiveness, we can seek deliverance. And he can remove any of that shame and give us our mana back and be dignified as men of God. And to the sisters, don't devalue yourself. The man will find it harder to value you if you don't value yourself. You're not an animal. You're not a sex object. Amen? Yeah, you're a woman of God. Yeah. So respect yourself. Don't try and sort of devalue yourself. Make a stand for righteousness. Sisters, make a stand for righteousness. Yep, I'm looking at a whole bunch of righteous women. You might say, oh, but I'll lose a man. No, you won't lose a man. You'll lose a dog. Yeah. See you later. Yeah, stand. I want to bring this to conclusion because it's getting close to lunchtime, but what? But the devil declared a war on women in particular. Quite seriously. You know, I don't say that flippantly. If you go back into the book, back into Genesis, the third chapter, there was a war declared by Satan on womanhood. And over the years, he's been able to recruit men onto his team to be part of that, sinful men, and to assist them in degrading and devaluing and dishonoring and even dehumanizing. Woman, I want to digress, but one of the things we really want to get involved in as we go forward in ministry is that whole area of sex trafficking. And Alison's been building a relationship with a woman who's based in Myanmar and China, and where they traffic women across that border. We want to get involved in providing some of the answer to those situations. Men, we're restarting our Men Against Sexual Violence movement here in Kaikoi. Yeah. And very excited about that. All kinds of men getting involved in that, non-Christians, Christians, all kinds of blokes. We're going to, Kaitaia is the next one, and we're going to get 7 Men Against Sexual Violence groups established throughout the nation. That's the goal. But because then you say, because there's a whole bunch of healing that can occur. But God is raising up, I believe, righteous men. He's raising up a righteous woman, and brothers who respect women. So no good man beats or mistreats his wife. Even with our words, we need to change. Sometimes, you know, brothers, you know, I have mercy. Because I know we just copy what our dads did and what our brothers did. And if we don't know another way, we don't know another way. But we come into the church and we can learn another way. And it's far better way. But God can set you free from that anger. And sisters, we've used words today like divine value, honor, dignity, sacredness. And you have it in you. Turn to your sister and say, you have it in you. It's been planted. It's already been planted in there. It's been planted in there by God. The enemy's tried to degrade that and try to dehumanize that with all kinds of tactics and messages. But the reality is you're still here today. You're still standing. Man, I know I got some sisters, and when I hear their story, I think, why are you still alive? Why are you not in mental hospital? You know, the stuff that they've had to put up with, and yet they're still alive, still going strong, still serving the Lord, still half sane. It's amazing. If you're still here, the fortitude, the strength of the woman. But I want to tell you something here, and it's really important, and I think you know it. but your dignity and your self-worth is not based on a man. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not based on who you hooked up with and all that kind of stuff. If you have a husband, praise God for your husband.
Amen.
If you don't have a husband, praise God for you that you don't have a husband.
Praise God, I don't have a husband. Amen.
Yeah. It can be a mixed blessing. But I want to say this real bold and really clear here. There is a man that restores dignity and self-worth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Woo. He's the man that we need to be hooked up with. I'm thinking here this morning about Rahab. Remember Rahab? She was a prostitute, but she is now recorded in the whakapapa of the Lord Jesus Christ as a hero of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Do you think she walked around feeling shameful that she was once a prostitute? No. God restored her, connected her into the family of God. I'm thinking about that woman of Samaria. She was so promiscuous in her day. She had five husbands. And the one she was with was not even a husband. And yet Jesus restored her, and she was used by Christ to bring her whole town to salvation. Hallelujah. I'm thinking here this morning of Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. She must have been mixed up. And she became a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's recorded in scriptures. We would say that she was a disciple of Christ. I'm thinking about that prostitute this morning that honored Jesus by pouring out that most expensive perfume on him. And she pushed through all those religious hypocrites. They were going, oh, how disgusting. If this man was really a prophet, he'd know, oh, that dirty girl touching him. She pushed through all that. And she worshipped Jesus, poured oil on his head, pushed past those disapproving men. I'm thinking of that other prostitute. I don't think the Bible records her name. He came in and she wept at Jesus' feet, kissed his feet, tears washed his feet, dried his feet with her hair, and Jesus honored her. And she did all that once again in the eyes of disapproving men. Oh, but she pushed through all that, and she's recorded in the scriptures. I'm thinking of that woman lying in the dirt in John chapter 8, caught red-handed in the act of adultery. I mean, that's pretty bad, eh? In the act, the Bible tells us. And she's down on the ground. The religious men want to stone her to death and judge her, she's waiting to be condemned by the men. But merciful Jesus Christ, what does he do? He saves her. And he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I'm thinking of that rich businesswoman. Actually, there was a bunch of them. I think Susanna was the name of one. Can't recall the other names off the top of my head. But they accompanied Jesus and his disciples, and they provided for them with their wealth. They sponsored the ministry. They were businesswomen, well-to-do women of influence. And they got in behind the missionary work of the disciples and Jesus and supported them out of their own wealth. I'm thinking about Jesus looking down off the cross at his crucifixion. And what did he look at, or who did he look at? He looked at his mother. The woman who had carried him, birthed him, nurtured him, cared for him as he was growing up. And he took the time. There he is dying. He's dying, Papa, on the cross. Dying an excruciating death. And he took the time to say, hey, John, can you look after my mother? Amazing, eh? How he honored her. Turned to his disciple and said, John, look after her. I'm thinking of the woman this morning who came to the tomb to honor the Lord's body. But when they came away from it, those women were the very first to preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ fearlessly to those doubting, scared disciples. They didn't believe them. The Lord's risen. They're like, no, we got to go see for ourselves. But they became the first preachers. Who? Woman George. First preachers of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking about the almighty woman of God over the ages, from that time through to now, who have led families back to God, who have influenced their communities things, people like your mother who's prayed and prayed and prayed. Mighty woman of God, bringing nations back to God, leading moves of the Holy Spirit, innumerous women, leading reformation. We can think of Kate Shepherd. She was a Christian woman. All these early women's libbers were Christian women, standing up for righteousness, standing up for justice. Mighty woman of God. And most of all, I'm thinking about the sisters in this church here today. Every single one of you from all kinds of different backgrounds and different kinds of lifestyles whom God has restored and lifted you up. Hallelujah. Lifted you up through Jesus Christ. He made you righteous woman, full of divine dignity, full of divine worth and value. Every single sister in this house this morning, from the oldest to the youngest, to those listening online later, taking dominion, putting your foot down, declaring, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, advancing, seeking the righteous kingdom of God here on the earth. Proud of every single one of you, the stand that you're making for God. And I want us to declare that Jesus Christ and Him alone, He's the glory and the lifter of our heads. The devil wants us bowed down with shame and inadequacy and limitation and confusion about who we are. But Jesus, David says, I cried unto the Lord, and He lifted me up out of the miry clay. He put my feet upon a rock. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praises. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to let you get off lightly without any challenge here this morning. There's a couple of things I want every. Number one is that you are a woman of divine value. Let that penetrate your thinking here this morning. Let it demolish any. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're a woman of divine value. To those listening on the podcast, every single woman created on the face of this earth is a woman of divine value, created by God, and you carry in you the spark of Almighty God, that spark of divinity. So you should walk tall, and you should walk proud, and humbly acknowledge your true worth. Acknowledging your true worth is not pride. That's humility. Acknowledging that you are a divine of divine, that's just humility. The second thing I want you to do, or want you to know, I should say, is, and I mentioned it just a second ago, is that Jesus is the restorer of the divine image. You may have noticed that you're not perfect. Did you notice that? Yeah. There are some flaws. If you're not sure what they are, ask your husband. He will tell you what your flaws are if he's brave or stupid. But the only way back to restoration, to your true identity, to your true potential, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the restorer. That's his business. He does restoration. He's the healer. He's the restorer. He's the deliverer. He's the lifter of our heads. So you got the value. What I'm saying is you got the value, but if you want to come into the full, you come to the restorer. He is the path to completion. He is the path to holiness. He said, wide and easy is the path to destruction, and many choose that path, but narrow and hard is the road to life, and few choose to it. He's the path. So there's two things I want you to know. What were they? That you are a divine value. The second one is He's the restorer of your image. He's the restoration. Two things I want you to do today. And the first one is to get really connected to Jesus Christ. And get really connected to Him. He's the perfect man. He's the ideal husband. Yeah. Husbands, take note of that. If we want to be a good husband, get more of Jesus in us. Yeah. It's not about trying harder to be a good husband. I'll tell you that. You will fail. Try hard to be more like Jesus. You won't fail. So yeah, there's a truth in there, Sam. Yeah, get right there one down. Yeah. This is how you get closer to Jesus and get connected to Jesus. You can pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. The things that I have done to hurt you, hurt others, and even hurt myself. I thank you for taking my guilt and shame. I give it to you, and I receive your freedom and peace. Today I surrender my life to you, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, you don't have to pray exactly like that, but a prayer like that will connect you to the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer was much simpler than that. I said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my life. And he did. So it doesn't have to be a flash prayer, but just a prayer of connection, a prayer of submission. And the second thing I want you to do today, and this is important to all the sisters in the house today, I want you to be empowered and transformed and uplifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're going to close on this. I want you to be empowered, transformed, and uplifted by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray shortly a corporate prayer. And in this prayer, I'm believing God for the Holy Spirit's power to be released on you as a woman of God, to empower you to do what God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit wants to pour himself out upon you today with his transforming power. The scriptures say this, the righteous are as bold as a lion. I'm looking at every woman in this house being a bold lion. We know that the lion is the king of the jungle, right? But there's nothing more fearsome than a lioness. if you watch Animal Channel, hey, the big lion just is like, rawr, rawr. But the lioness is fierce. That's where the real boldness comes from, the lioness. I'm believing God as we close. Maybe the musicians could come now. That would be great. But I'm believing God, Allison, that as we close the service here this morning, that a holy roar would come out of the sisters primarily. Brothers, we can holy roar too. But with it being Mother's Day, primarily, we're talking about a holy roar of the righteous lion of the tribe of Judah arising out of the bellies of our sisters that would strike fear into the forces of darkness and make the demons of ungodliness and all that kind of stuff tremble. Yeah, as the woman of God arise in this place and lay hold of their destiny in God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, if you want that verse for, the righteous are as bold as a lion. So could you just play some chords there, Alistair, that would be great. Can we all stand together? And I'm going to ask you to respond here this morning. Going to pray. We're going to, as I said, going to close the service shortly. I know I've banged on a bit here this morning, but I think this is so important. What God's about to do in our community. One of the things he's doing is he's releasing women's ministry. He's releasing the soldiers in the army that are women. He's causing them to rise to their feet. He's causing the sisters to advance. Holy Spirit, we thank you that your presence is here with us here this morning. And I thank you that your kingdom is not just a matter of words, but it's also of power. Thank Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're hovering over this meeting place just like you did. You hovered over Mary, you hovered over the creation. And you're awaiting for the word of God to be spoken out so that you can breathe upon that word and cause it to come alive, cause it to become flesh. If that's you this morning, you're feeling like the Holy Spirit saying to you, I'm going to push past shame, I'm going to push past limitation, I'm going to push past cultural expectation and religious expectations and all that kind of stuff, and you're feeling like the lion of the tribe of Judah is beginning to be stirred up inside of you, and that you're about to roar, and you want the Holy Spirit to just to blow upon that and quicken that and bring that to life. I'm going to ask you just to come up to the front into the space here, and we're going to simply just pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to speak the word of God out over you. If that's you here this morning, just yeah, we've got. Right, yeah, just come right forward because, yeah, make a lot of room for just in cases. Shout out, Abakurere. Yeah, come right forward. Thank you, Allison. Just praise the Lord. Yeah.